I want to, I was going to move on in, if you like, the theology of prayer this week, into a sort of into deeper stuff about authority in prayer and that. But I wanted to just sort of take a week of almost a continuation of last week, you know, where we were looking at the invitation of the Father to come into the secret place. You know, he said, you know, but when you pray, go into your secret room, into your storeroom, into your provisions room, and lock the door. And there, your Father, who sees things done in secret, will reward you. And there was a sense of invitation. When Jesus said there was a sense of the Father will be waiting for you, there was that sense of this will happen. You need to take a step. And it brought up this whole thing of prayer and how we have a prayer life. And, you know, we talked about some sort of ways at the end, practical things. I love what Stuart did about, you know, Stuart at the end said about, you know, sort of starting at the basic level and then sort of getting an upgrade coming from the free app, you know, and then getting an upgrade, maybe getting then go into pro prayer. But basically starting where you are. But I just felt we need to be a bit more real about this. So in a way, some of you may be disappointed today because I don't think there's a lot of meat in this. But I think it's important that we talk about the difficulties that we have. Just living this life for him. It's not about us, it's about him. In this world, for them. Okay, so I want to, the text I'm going to use is this, these four verses from Luke, okay? One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So this is a shorter version of what's called the Lord's Prayer, you know, but improperly. It's not really the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. He's given it to us, it's not his prayer. It's the people's prayer, the disciples' prayer. And it's a shorter version of that which is found in Matthew. There's a few differences, but it gets the heart of it. But it's not the prayer I want to look at the moment. It's this thing of them saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. Let's just think about that for a minute. These guys knew how to pray. Okay? Now his band, this is the disciples. So this may be in the wider band. So this is going to be composed of all sorts of people. But no doubt in there, he was sent to the Jews. So there's going to be Jews there who will have learnt all about prayer. In the synagogue model. And in how you pray to God. And how the priests pray. And how... you know, the models of prayer, you know, the hands, and all the different aspects. This would have been part of their life. This was not, oh, Jesus prays, I wonder what that's all about. This would have been part of their life growing up. They knew how to pray. They knew the mechanics. Then there's the line where they say, just as John taught his disciples. And there was a tradition that a rabbi would compose a prayer for his disciples. So they were basically also saying, well, where's ours? You know, that was just what everyone did. They saw John had done it with his, so they said, where's ours? So there's those two things. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that gets me. I love to think, or, you know, what really gets me going is that they look at the life of Jesus. They're with this guy. And, you know, they're living, they're on the road, they're moving around, they're seeing him with people. And they're going, what is it about this guy? They're still working through who he is. They're still working through what is going on. And you can almost, well, to me, hear them trying to sort of suss that out. Luke 10, they've been involved in some powerful stuff. Luke 10, it's the sending out and all that. You know, they've involved in some powerful stuff. But they don't say to him, Lord, teach us to be better at healing. Teach us to be better at casting out. teach us to try and get on without arguing, James and John. He said, teach us to pray, because they saw in Jesus someone whose prayer life fed into everything. It says, particularly in Luke, he went up on the mountainside, he was there all night, he took time out to pray. And out of that prayer life, out of that walk with Father was coming this life where he was never phased. He was never saying, okay, disciples, just hold on a minute. I don't know what to do. Okay, dead body. Hold on a minute. It flowed out of him. They wanted to know, I suggest, where that life came from. Forgive me if that's my very personal sort of take on this. But the more I read it, the more it blows my mind that is what they were about. How can you have this wisdom? How can you have this gentleness? How can you have this love? How can you have this power? This is not like any other rabbi giving a prayer. Oh, if you say this, everything will be all right. Where does that come from? So he gives them this wonderful prayer. And my guy, that is worthy of study. That is worthy of just taking that away and going through it. And in fact, I've got a really good book on praying the Lord's Prayer, the Father's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer. And I got two copies, and if anybody wants them, see me afterwards and you can have them. It takes you through it in a sort of steady type. It's only thin and it's full of wisdom and stuff. And if there's more than that, I will buy you copies. It's that good. Anyway, but what is it about prayer? Okay, so there it is. There's this wonderful thing. And what are we doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm going to tell you a bit about my prayer struggles, but just what gets in the way of prayer. I just did a list here of some of the things that seem to make prayer not as straightforward as you would imagine, given the big sell that it's just had. It takes effort. I can't bother. Our flesh doesn't want it. Our flesh wants something else. Oh, do you know, I got to eat or whatever. Oh, I've been waiting to see this program. Oh, there's a match on. I got to watch this. I'll pray later. We get distracted. Why is everything so fascinating when you're trying to pray? Oh, I didn't notice that thread there. I didn't know these chairs are in totally the wrong order. Hold on a minute, Lord. I'm just going to sort the chairs out. I have never seen so many unsharpened pencils. What the heck is that? Where do they come from? What is it? What is it in me that's finding all this stuff? Bonkers. I fall asleep. Now, I know this, I'm on my own here now. I have fallen asleep. Actually, the Celtic saints, their advice here would be find a stream. Because in order to pray through the night or to pray for a lot of hours, the Celtic saints, the pioneer guys, the real godly people of God, so important in the history of this country, they would find a mountain stream and stand in that and pray. You ain't going to fall asleep. If you do, you're probably going to drown. That's our core, isn't it? So there we are. Go down to the taff, stand in the taff, say your prayers. We're busy people. We got so much going on. There is so much happening. How do I fit it in? Oh, diary. Yeah, can't do it. Maybe tomorrow. Oh, God, look, I'm going to have to get back to you. We tried it and it was boring. I listened to that preacher bloke. I thought, this is going to be amazing. Oh, well, I sat there. That didn't work for me, clearly. Nobody else has got... Everybody else is working in power. They go in the room and, you know, the fire's coming down. And you're... Now, is that magnolia or is it beige? If it's beige, you could do it being painted magnolia. So, you're like, oh, this, but it's just boring. It's just boring. Nothing happens. I'm not excited. Nothing's happening. Oh, Lord, it's not fair. Nothing seems to change. You pray and nothing's happened. You pray, and you think, well, I'm still doing that. They're still doing that. This is still happening. My pockets are still empty. What's going on? Nothing's going on. Maybe you think, I can't really be bothered, but maybe there's a bit of theology I can use. Won't God sort it out anyway? Isn't he sovereign? That's a good one. What's the point in praying if God is going to sort it out anyway? God knows, connected to that, God knows what I need, so why bother praying? Ignoring the bit where Jesus says, God knows what you need before you ask, They just take it, God knows what you need. You see? Jesus got that one. He said, he knows what you need before you ask. He's saying, ask. Yeah, you're not going to surprise God, because God's sovereign, knows time. You're not going to go, oh, you don't want one of those, do you? But you need to enter into the relationship with him to ask and work it through so God can say, yes, no, maybe. Have you tried this? Lord, give them £10. Haven't you got £10? You need to enter in. The enemy tries to stop us. Oh, I feel so awake now. I'm just going to go in this room. I'm going to put... Where did that come from? Oh, yeah. Do you know, when I was six, that bloke, why did he... That really annoyed me. I've never got over that, you know. The enemy will try to stop you. The enemy... Okay. The enemy can't do anything about that. The enemy can't do anything about the fact that Messiah came, Messiah was crucified, Messiah was hanging on a tree, Messiah rose, and Messiah, Jesus, is in heavenly places with us in his heart. He is there and he's interceding. He can't do anything with that. What can he do? He can just come alongside and put the doubt. Yeah, but was it for you? Have you been good enough to take the free gift? Free gift of salvation. Have you been good enough? He just comes in with that stuff. That's what he got. Maybe a bit of sickness. Oh, I can't breathe. I've got a sniffle. Oh my gosh. I can't. I've got to go to lie down. I haven't the time. I've done that one. Okay, there's some of the things that can get in the way in my struggle. For me, it took a long time. And I was raised as a Catholic. So for me, prayer was very, it wasn't a personal thing at all. It was extremely, set and stuff like that. And a confession. When I became a Christian, God was very good to me. He gave me an experience when I received Christ into my life after doing lots of stupid stuff for quite a while, innit? Blah, blah. And I thought, right, well, okay, there's definitely a God. And I went to after messing about for a long time, being really stupid, I went to a church that was quite reformed and preached on the finished work of Christ and the whole thing of access to the throne of grace. And that was embedded in me. So I know that I've got access to the throne of grace because the word tells me. So I'm even more pathetic when I haven't made use of that. You may notice that from the way I'm walking around here, I find it hard to stay still. So I've always got this picture of entering into this place of prayer and sitting there in a chair and just opening, oh, being still for the Lord. And I can do that for about 10 seconds. And then, because as Jan said, I'm a bit of a fidget. I'm a bit sort of bored and you move on. So I find it very hard to stay still. So I've found other ways to do this. I like walking prayer. Now, that's not the same as prayer walking. Prayer walking is a specific thing where you think, right, I'm going to pray for an hour. You go out and you're looking at the area and you're praying for stuff and you're bringing it to God and you're praying in tongues in the place and you're asking blessing on people and everything. And it's a powerful thing. And we need to do it more. Walking prayer, I find really good. I get up, preferably, to a mountain or something, or to a place where you could do a long walk or do anything. Kevin on Park is really good. And I just find myself walking and praying. And then I find that I can weave in the stuff. It's not a distraction. It's, oh, that's amazing. Thank you, Lord. That sort of thing. Which I find walking around my house doesn't help. Although I do that. I pace all the time. It's just the way I am, Routine. It took me a while to find out. Well, nothing, I can't find a routine here. When the kids were young, I would... And this is what I want to encourage you to do. Just find what works for you. Find these places. I'd take the kids to school. I'd be a clinician. And then I'd be going to work down in Newport Road. So I had this gap. And I would go to Roth Park. And I was at 20 minutes. Park. Walk around Roth Park. Really, quite brisk. And then off to work. And I found. And I would encourage you with this. Because there are things you need to set in place that will help you. And if you can get routine and habit working for you instead of against you, that helps a lot. And what I found was, I got to the point eventually where when I went through the gates, I just started praying. Because I was almost conditioning myself that this is my place of prayer. So I just walked through and start shouting in tongues. No, I didn't. But I just found that I'd conditioned my heart. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing because it just incorporated in. I didn't even have to say Lord today. I would just find myself praying. And I would encourage you. I like spaces as well. It does help, I think, to get a space. If you can find someone in the house with not so many distractions, no unsharpened pencils or anything like that. And gradually get that idea, this is my space for prayer. Some people use a shed or a part of the garden, where there is a bit of a... But there are two places I think of in particular. One, when I used to work, in biochemical research. I used to work for Tenevis Cancer Research, about 150 years ago. I was reaching the point of getting really frustrated. I was working with young people in the church, you know, young people on the edge. I was always attracted to the sort of, you know, the people on the edge, the sort of crazy people and stuff like that. I was getting more and more bored, really, and frustrated with my job, which was research. It's very exciting when you have these little breakthroughs, but there's lots and lots of tedious work to get to a breakthrough, you know. So we would do, like, four-day experiments and stuff like that, and blah, blah. And I remember I wanted to call up to God, so I thought, where's a place I can do this? So I found the roof. Well, you don't find the roof, it's already there, isn't it? But I went up through so Tenevis is about sort of, I don't know, sort of about four, five floors high, so I'm on the roof of Tenevis, and I'm walking up and down, I'm calling out to God, because I'm having a bit of a row with God now, because I'm like, I don't want to be here, I want to be doing youth work, you know, last night we had people coming to Christ, and I'm back here doing this stuff, up and down, you know, and I get involved. I would encourage you to use your body in this sort of thing. And God was good. Answering prayers, he didn't answer my prayer. What I thought was going to happen was John Wimber was going to ring me up and say, the Lord's given me a name. Can you come over, you know, join Vineyard as a youth pastor, you know, we'll pay you, give you a big car, but I'll wait to go. And we'll bring your family as well, because they're good like that. But that's not what happened. Instead, he got someone, there was a certain prime minister, and when they came in, there were lots of cuts. And I was made redundant. Oh, well, that's a funny way to answer prayer. And it was a dreadful year. It was a dreadful year. But God used it to bring a lot of stuff out of me. There was depression. There was all sorts of... I was even less perfect then. Much more imperfect even than I am now. And God used it. So God was like, yeah, I got this covered. It's not really what you want, but we're moving that way. And I left the lab. I never went back to labs. And the Lord opened the door to get into youth work. And it wasn't until quite a few years later that... I was in another part of the hospital, and I was just idly looking over, and I said, "What's that building over there?" So that's the Tenevis. I said, "That's the Tenevis roof, is it?" Yeah, they said. I said, "It's very clear, isn't it?" Yeah. And it just flashed before me that, you know, for about a year or two, and I don't know how I didn't work this out really. They would have seen a guy in a white lab coat. Doing that, because, you know, I'm not a sort of guy. I'm not that sort of guy. I'm that sort of guy, you know. And I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't realize at the time, you know. It was a few years after. It wasn't immediately after. Oh, maybe they've all, oh, hallelujah. I can imagine what they're saying. Is that the mental health section? No, it's Tenevis. Oh, that's interesting. Anyway, right, so another good space. Another good space I found, just adapt. When I was working in Newport, I worked in a homeless hostel, which is an intense environment. And it was opposite St. Wolf's Cathedral, which is a wonderful cathedral. So here's my other tip. Find a stream to go in or find a cathedral near you. And I went in this cathedral. There was a lovely, very plain prayer room. In fact, it was the Chapel of St. Luke. And it was such a peace there. And it was actually there that God spoke to me. They gave me the call to be pastor. In fact, it's still got a very special sort of thing. But I used to go there and just sit there or kneel. And there were people around, so I didn't actually walk around a lot there and look as peculiar as I had before. I just knelt or sat. And I felt that I got into the thing of just expecting to meet with God there. And God was so gracious. So I'd encourage you, spaces, routines. Okay. Here's the thing, guys. I really wish I disciplined myself. Prayer is an amazing gift of God, but he doesn't force it on you. He waits. He knows what you need before you ask. He waits for you. He waits for you. He waits for you to come. It's amazing, isn't it? He says, I'll meet you in the storeroom. I don't want to get too emotional about that, about God sitting there in loneliness, you know, and he's looking at the pencils being sharp and stuff, but there's a sense of God wanting to meet with us. That was part of the invitation last week. I said it was, that's the heart of it, I think. It's an invitation from the Father into that secret place. Okay. We said a few practical things last week. I'll just run through them very quickly. Start small, use entry level. Start maybe 5 minutes, not even daily. Give yourself achievable aims. Chat to God at other times. It's not just about being in there. This is a relationship. Silence is an art to be learnt. It's good not to be just asking. The whole idea is you get into a place where you lay your stuff before God and then you wait and you listen. You've heard a lot of my ranting stuff. There's also been the listening thing, and I find that often happens on the walking stuff. You can spend about 2 hours or something, and the first bit you just sort of all that, and then you're like, okay. But the Father wants to speak to you. He's gone through a lot of trouble to make this connection. I'd ask God for a psalm. I said this last week as well. It's amazing. Sometimes you ask God for a psalm, and that psalm will be key in your life. And even I found even sometimes prepares you for an episode that's coming. I found that the Lord, twice in particular, has given me psalms that as I've gone in, I've just thought, oh, there's something about this. And then there have been situations arising that I've needed to know those promises. So ask Father. Just ask Father. He wants to tell you. He wants to share this stuff with you. Keep pressing in. Talk about your prayer. Talk about it to each other. How are you doing? Talk about it in triplets and home groups. Be accountable. Say, I'm gonna try and do this now. Can you just ask me how I'm getting on? So you get out of this crazy place inside. Keeping a journal can help. It can bring focus. It's very embarrassing when you look back and your last entry was 4 years ago. You think, so is discipline. There's discipline. But are we not disciples? So it sort of comes with the territory. And do what they did. Ask God. Say, Lord, teach me to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. Do what they did. Finish with these two things. When I was preparing this, I was reminded of the scene from A Christmas Carol. You know the story of Scrooge? And I love that. I think I watched every version of the films. I haven't read the book because the writing's too small. But I've watched every version of the films. They're amazing. I love it. And one of my favourite bits is when Marley comes, you know, and Scrooge is in his bed and he's sort of, and he's like, oh God. And he's had his gruel. And then he hears chink, 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 and this dragging noise. It's the most amazing sound. And this dragon of chains, and then Marley comes in the room, and Marley's got all the chains on him, and he's got these big boxes that he's dragging. And he says, these are the things that I fashioned all my life, and now I have to carry them, and so on. And it's not at all any Christian doctrine in that. Just want to, you know, that's not a book you go to for Christian doctrine. It's that image. And here's the thing, and this is hard for me to say, but sometimes I feel we have a prayer room and we drag our chains in and we drag them out again because we haven't met with Father. And I want to encourage you that, you know, we've all got stuff we need to sort out. We're a bunch of broken people. We've all got stuff we need to sort out. And there's counseling and there's sharing with others and there's being prayed for and there's all that. But don't miss the secret place. Don't miss the heart of all of that. Don't miss what the Father has said. I will meet you in the secret place. And over time, my prayer would be that every time you go in there, you come up with less of these chains. Now, pictures are difficult to preach off, so I'm just sharing that as a prophetic picture. That's not a sort of teaching point, really. That's just a prophetic picture. And finally, I would go back to the invitation from last week. The Father invites you It's like Jesus said it on his behalf. The Father invites you into the secret place. Amen.